It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last month in his Condition of the State address, Governor Branstad asked all Iowans to demand real change in the laws for distracted and impaired driving. As part of his plea, Branstad cited the death of a young Riceville bicyclist killed by a texting driver. 11 bicyclists were killed in accidents in Iowa last year. That was the highest in over 10 years. More broadly, the state's traffic death toll has spiked as well. It rose from 320 deaths in 2015 to 403 fatalities last year. This hour, we want to discuss what's being done in our legislature regarding distracted and impaired driving to make our roads in Iowa less deadly. And as I always am on Mondays during the legislative session, I'm joined this hour by IPR legislative correspondent Joyce Russell. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
So we want to talk with legislators in just a moment, and also Pat Hoy of the governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. But broadly speaking, what's being discussed at the State House?
Well, there are several bills that have to do with texting while driving or using your cell phone while driving. The governor also has a bill out if we move into drunk driving in this discussion. He has a bill that would set up a new statewide sobriety system for frequent sobriety tests for people who've been convicted of drunk driving in the past. But there are variations on the cell phone issue. Sort of the minimum thing going on there is to make it a primary offense to text while driving. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can't be pulled over for that. But another bill goes further than that and says cell phones at all, no handheld devices at all. If you've got a cell phone, you better have it on Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll find out more details as we talk with lawmakers a little bit later in the program. I want to reach out to our listeners. During the hour, while you're listening, give us your reaction to proposals to reduce the crashes on our roads by distracted, by impaired driving. Perhaps you have a story of distracted driving you'd like to share. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Joyce Russell at the State House Law Library standing by with lawmakers. In just a moment, we're going to talk with them. But, you know, Joyce, one way to understand the problem of distracted and impaired driving is to cite road death statistics, fatalities, that I just did on Iowa's roads. Another way, though, is to understand the problem by talking with someone who has lost a loved one. In May of 2015, Christy Castenson lost two family members in a distracted driving crash, her husband and mother-in-law. Christy Castenson joins us now. Welcome to the program, and my condolences to you, Christy. Okay, we'll get Christy a little bit later in the program. She's not on the phone right now. Let's go to our lawmakers at the State House Law Library with Joyce. Joining us from the State House Law Library is Republican State Senator Tim Capuchin from Keystone. He is chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, and also Democratic State Senator Todd Bowman from Maquoketa, lead Democrat on the Senate Transportation Committee, as well as Pat Hoy, Bureau Chief of the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. We've spoken with Pat here just not too long ago about traffic safety. Welcome to all of you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Let's start with Senator Capuchin. You have authored one of the bills that is being discussed at the legislature. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you, and thanks for having us today to talk about this issue. I started with the simple one, the Senate Study Bill 1002. It's simply a bill that would make texting while driving a primary offense. Currently, when you're a young driver, a new driver, you get issued an intermediate driver's license, and when you do that, you have a year to prove yourself, so to speak. And in that year time period, it is illegal for you to text and drive. So anyway, it's illegal to text and drive anyway, but it's considered a primary offense. And by that, I mean that if an officer suspects you of texting while driving, you can be pulled over. Once you do your 1 year accident-free, ticket-free, and get your permanent driver's license, that then becomes a secondary offense, and that means that an officer cannot pull you over solely for that purpose. If you're doing something else, like weaving, crossing the line, speeding, those types of things, they can stop you, and if they find out that you were texting, then that would be an additional fine. But they do not have the right to pull you over just for texting if you're not doing something else wrong. What this bill would do would be to make that a primary offense where they would have the ability to pull you over.
Mm-hmm. Let's get reaction from your Democratic colleague in the Senate, Todd Bowman. I don't know, are there two, three more than that proposals out there? What are you seeing in this bill? Perhaps you back this bill or a different bill?
Well, Senator Kapoutsian and I have worked on this idea for at least 4 years. We've passed it out of the Senate three times on strong bipartisan efforts. So it hasn't been a Democrat bill or a Republican bill. It's been bipartisan. And the one that Senator Kapoutsian was speaking to has passed the Senate at least twice and sent over to the House, where it did not even get a subcommittee. And so we're waiting and hoping that the House Republicans will decide to take action. Senator Kapoutsian and I worked hand in hand on this policy. We went over some other options and thought the first good step would be making it primary. We certainly have other positions on how we can enhance that bill and make it stronger. And we've been working with Pat Hoy and the Public Department of Safety on ways that we could do that. And we, you know, have slowly proceeded to get more and more support. We got support from the police, the sheriff's department, and this year the governor came on board and had it on the State of the State speech. So we've been working behind the scenes trying to get this passed for, you know, many years, mm-hmm. and I'm ready and willing. So I'm very glad the governor has decided to make this one of his top issues. And Senator Kapoutsian and I don't think have changed on this issue. We're certainly supporters of strengthening our distracted driving laws.
Pat Hoy from the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, I want to get your perspective, but we have Christy Kastensen with us now, and she can only stay with us a few minutes, so I'd like to go back and talk with her just a minute. Christy Kastensen, welcome to our program. Are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for joining us. As I mentioned earlier, we had a little technical snafu, but before that, I mentioned that you lost your husband, your mother-in-law, in a distracted driving crash in 2015. Our condolences to you, and thank you for coming on the program. Can you tell us quickly the circumstances of that fatal crash?
Yes, on May 8th, 2015, my husband was taking his mom to the doctor's, and a man went through a stop sign off gravel and was texting and hit my husband's side and killed him. And then his mother passed away shortly thereafter.
This was a 21-year-old driver, Colton Bills. What were the consequences for the driver in this case?
The consequences was he's on probation for 4 years now. He was charged in January 9th of two counts of vehicular homicide. But when the sentencing came, they just gave him 4 years of probation. Mm-hmm. And a stop sign violation, and that was it. He never spent one night in jail, not even in the Webster County facility.
What was your reaction to the sentence, or is your reaction? It's been over a year and a half.
We're in disbelief and shock on the ruling when you take two people's lives, even if you took one, or even if you seriously injured somebody, there should be some stiffer penalties for people that are distracted. And the consequence of what, 4 years probation, he can still drive. It's just hard to put into words.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, what do you think would be a legislative remedy? We're going to be discussing other options here. I don't know how much you've heard of the previous conversation, but what would you be in favor of changing in terms of the law?
I firmly believe in the primary consequence that the penalties need to be stiffer. There needs to be fines if people are on their phone and driving. I'm hands-free I'm a proponent of that also.
So, okay, so the more, the further step would be you're in favor of just having hands free. If you have an electronic device in your hands, that is a violation?
Yes.
That's okay. So whether you're texting, talking on the phone, and you're not, unless you have a hands-free device. Okay. Are you actively trying to persuade lawmakers at this time?
Yes, we actually, my kids and I were down at the Capitol last Wednesday and talked to some legislations. I've been writing letters to our representatives, to the House Speaker. I've been sending letters. My family, all of us have been sending communications down to the Capitol to hopefully get this law changed.
Mm-hmm. We have a short time, but can you give us a sense in a few sentences what it's been like for you after this crash that killed your husband, your mother-in-law due to a distracted driver, a texting driver? How has your life changed? How have you coped?
Basically, day to day, you put one foot in front of the other. I lost my partner. We were married 28 years. My kids lost their dad. I became a single parent overnight. And just trying to get by, learning things that I, with the house, with the farm, stuff that I never knew because he took care of everything. Mm. So it's just starting over at my age of learning how to do everything, and it's been very, very hard.
I'm sure it has.
And for my kids, too. Mm-hmm. My kids lost their best friend. My husband was full of spirit, and he'd always, you know, keep everything light and happy, and my kids just don't have a dad anymore.
Christy, what are your thoughts when you drive around, you see people texting and driving? It's commonplace now, isn't it?
Right, very, yes. And it gets very, when I see that, I get very upset. I also get upset when I see people just roll through stop signs. Our lives changed in a split second, and people have to start realizing that they're going to hurt someone else or themselves, and their lives are more important than a text message. You can pull over. You know, no message is that important that you need it right now. We used to be fine without cell phones, and I think it's become such a habit for people that they have to have it in their hand, and we need to go back to just putting it away until you're stopped or pulled over. No message is that important.
Christy Castenson, thank you for joining us, and our condolences again. Thank you for speaking about this. Christy Castenson lost her husband and mother-in-law in a distracted driving crash in 2015. The driver was texting and went through a stop sign. Christy, thank you so much. Our thoughts are with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about distracted and impaired driving, what we can do about it on this legislative Monday. Ben Kiefer with Joyce Russell, our IPR legislative correspondent at the State House Law Library with lawmakers, State Senator Tim Capuchin and State Senator Todd Bowman. Bowman, a Democrat, Capuchin, a Republican, they have been working together on a proposal, a bill, to help the situation here. We haven't spoken with Pat Hoy yet, Bureau Chief of the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, also at the State House Law Library. Hello again, Patrick Hoy.
Hey, good morning, Ben. You know, one of the things that I would tell you from a safety advocate's standpoint, we deeply appreciate the efforts of the governor's office and our state legislators to address this issue. And, you know, I think sometimes you have to take a look at in perspective of how big of an issue is this really. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look nationally in 2015, there was an 8% increase in overall fatalities nationwide. And then in 2016, another 6% increase nationally. That's the biggest two-year jump in five decades.
Now, is it coincidence or not that this is a period of time in which we've seen a dramatic uptick in the number of people using their cell phones for whatever purpose behind the wheel? I mean, can we tie that 6 or 8% jump to what to cell phone use, electronics use?
Part of the issue that we have is that a lot of the crash data that we collect through police officers' crash reports do not indicate, we believe, an accurate portrayal of how many crashes are actually caused by distracted driving. So the numbers are a little tough. So that's why we're taking a look at when you see a major spike in fatalities. And then one of the avenues that we're exploring are lane departure crashes, when you're taking a look at vehicles that are leaving the roadway. And here in Iowa, over the last 5 years, we've seen a 68% fatality rate contributed to lane departure. And we certainly believe that when you're talking distracted driving, that a percentage of those lane departure crashes are tied to distracted.
So unravel that a little bit. Lane departure crash is when, for whatever reason, the vehicle just moves into the lane that it's not supposed to be in.
Correct. It either crosses the center line or goes off onto the shoulder and off the roadway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Iowa DOT has some statistics on the actual use of phone or other device. I have a graph in front of me, and it just sort of follows the expanded use of smartphones. This goes back to 2015. This is drivers distracted by use of phone or other device. 14 fatalities in 2015. 7 fatalities in 2014, and before that it was 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it jumped to 14 in 2015. And I think you can just probably just track that to the more smartphones that are out there, don't you think, Mr. Hoy?
Absolutely, and we think that, you know, in large part, the spike that we're seeing these last 2 years certainly ties into distracted driving. You know, when you take a look at cars are safer, roadways are being safer, impaired driving numbers are not moving up. So, you know, when you're taking a look at causation, the attention to distracted driving is certainly warranted.
What is the governor's position, Pat Hoy, on what degree we should make this? I mean, we have the bill just described by our state senators there. No texting while driving. That would mean you could talk on the phone. There is another greater limitation that would say, no electronic device in your hands. It has to be a hands-free setup in your car if you're to drive legally.
The governor's office has come out in support of a hands-free bill. And, there are several amendments that are currently pending that could affect the final outcome. But obviously, I'm going to refer to the senators on anything legislative. They're
right.
Certainly the experts in that field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that, you know, we're looking at certainly a primary offense. That's the first step. In addition to that, do we want to eliminate, you know, and keep it hands-free? And personally...
Well, yeah, what's preventing that step?
I think the majority senators have to be on board. Mm-hmm. We have failed 3 or 4 times getting just the primary component over to the House and having them take action. So, you know, I'm fully supportive of a stronger bill that has been introduced on the Senate that would make hands-free the land of the law. There's some technical things that we're going to work through that Senator Capuchin referred to, like with GPS and built-in things and that nature. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. We've been talking about this issue for many years. And when you get into the weeds, you'll hear some people say, well, will it be illegal to eat a hamburger in your car? You know, can you change the radio station? You can get you can get really into the weeds and make this difficult for people to agree on. But the point is that we know, data shows us, that distracted driving creates more accidents and fatalities. There's nobody that disputes that. So to me, it's more about how selfish does one want to be in regard to your need to instantly get that information from your phone, whether it's a text or whatever, versus the safety and well-being of those that you're sharing the road with.
Mm-hmm. Senator,
I would say...
Yeah, go ahead. Is this Patrick Hoy?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, this
no,
is Tim.
Senator Capuchin. Go ahead, sorry.
Yes. I would, you know, I proposed Senate Study Bill 1002, and that was to get the ball rolling, and I didn't know what public safety was going to do at that time. But since then, we've got Senate Study Bill 1079, and that would be the hands-free bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I would certainly be supportive of that as well. But I wanted to, you know, make a progression or at least have an option out there if this bill did not come forward. 1079 would simply make everything hands-free. And there is an exception in there for GPS. Well, now there's an amendment that would take that out, would strike the GPS. And then there's another amendment that the auto industry is interested in that would exempt built-in electronic devices, things that are built into the vehicle, like the dashboard. You would, if that amendment would pass, would be allowed to use that screen, use that screen or the voice, you know, the voice activated that comes on and says, hey, your destination is 500 feet on the right, that kind of thing. I would certainly be in favor of that. We're going to have a subcommittee on that. And after the subcommittee comes out with their proposal, if they pass it out of subcommittee, then we're going to take a good look at it and see what kind of support we have in the Senate before we move forward. But I would hope that, you know, this issue is continuing to worsen. I mean, I drive back and forth on the freeway here in Des Moines every day, and I don't have to leave 3 or 4 minutes out from the Capitol, and I can start pointing out, texting drivers, people that are distracted. It's not a problem that's getting any better. You know, we look at what I would consider our professional drivers. Those are the people with the commercial driver's license, the CDLs, the truck drivers. They are the professionals on the road. They are required by federal law to be hands-free. Now, I consider myself an amateur driver compared to them, but I'm allowed to. I don't understand. So I think we need to really pursue this. We need to get on board here, do what's right, put some stiffer penalties, and just, you know, the problem with the bill that I proposed, Senate Study Bill 1002, is enforcement. Enforcement becomes hard when it's simply a texting ban, because then people can say, well, I was looking up a phone number, or I was looking at my GPS. So the next logical progression would be Senate Study Bill 1079. And so I think the Senate Study Bill 1002 gets the discussion going, and then hopefully we can move on to 1079 and take a good hard look at it and see what we can do to take care of this problem on our roads. It's only going to get worse.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Republican State Senator Tim Capuchin from Keystone, chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, also Democratic State Senator Todd Bowman from Maquoketa, lead Democrat on the Senate Transportation Committee, Pat Hoy of the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, Joyce Russell, of course, Iowa Public Radio legislative correspondent. We'll be back talking more about remedies for the distracted, impaired driving problem we have on our roads, a great spike in the fatalities on our roads. And if you have an experience to share, a concern, a question, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. When we come back, we'll hear a harrowing experience of a bicyclist being hit by a texting driver, rather a calling driver. She was not injured, but we'll hear that account in just a minute. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. We're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer with IPR legislative correspondent Joyce Russell, Tim Capuchin, and Todd Bowman, two senators in our legislature, have been working together on crafting legislation to reduce the spike in fatalities, crashes in our state. That death toll on our roads rose from 320 in 2015 to 403 in 2016. Also with us, Pat Hoy, Bureau Chief of the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. We're inviting you this hour as well to join us with your tale of distracted driving and your reaction to the proposals being heard. 1-866-780-9100. A good number of calls. We'll get to those in just a moment. I wanted to share this because we established in the first half hour that our legislators want to reach sort of a lower rung of saying no texting while driving. That is the case right now, but it is not a primary offense. To raise that to a primary offense, another higher rung, so to speak, would be to make any use of a handheld device while driving an infraction. And here is a story that I was told recently at a bike planning gathering in Iowa City. Here's a harrowing story from a bicyclist, Cody Gieselman of Iowa City.
Riding through downtown, I had a green light. A driver on a cell phone ran the red light, and luckily at very slow speed struck me, knocked me off my bike. You know, had some minor injuries, but I'm fine today.
You could see clearly that he was on a cell phone.
It was a woman, she stopped and you know, realized that she had hit me and stopped and was still on the phone. And so, you know, like, sorry, I just hit someone with my car. I got to call you back. And, you know, luckily there were a lot of people on the street who saw what happened. So, you know, people very clearly saw that she was on the phone. Because of that, ran the red light. It seemed like she was a little bit confused as to where, like, what direction she was going. So I think maybe that was part of the problem, too, just being uncertain about where she was driving, distracted on the phone. All these things came together, didn't even see that she was going through an intersection, let alone a red light, let alone the cyclist that was also in the path.
Okay, fortunately, no injury to Cody Gieselman. You heard speaking there, harrowing tale of distracted driving. Fortunately, it didn't end too badly. But what a shock, Senator Capuchin and Senator Bowman. I'm sure you've heard lots of stories like this.
Yes. You know, for the last 4 years, I've been kind of the point person on this bill, working closely with Senator Capuchin. But, you know, the letters, the emails, the phone calls I've received break your heart. Christy that came up to the Capitol last week with her some students and her daughters. It's a very emotional thing to hear that we're having these fatalities and they're preventable.
And Senator Capuchin, you were telling us that your clerk in the House, or I mean your clerk in this, at your desk in the Senate, also has a personal experience?
Correct. Her, I believe her uncle was on a lawnmower or a small tractor of some sort and was killed from a distracted driver from behind. I'd like to say, if Christy's still listening, my condolences. These are the types of things that are so sad that we know could be avoided. Mm-hmm. And so we need to continue to work strong on this. So, yes, you have an advocate that sits right next to me every day in the Senate, bound and determined to get something done, because I think, and I was asked earlier off the radio, why do I think that we'll get it passed this year? And I think it's because there's building more and more type of these accidents happening, and there's more and more people that serve in the legislature that have a personal story now, that they know someone that was affected by an accident that happened as a result of distracted driving. And so I think the momentum is building. We need to address this issue sooner rather than later, and that's why we're on this. That's why we're on this mission.
As you said earlier, the Senate passed a bill last year, the primary offense bill. It was not even taken up in the House. Representative Josh Burns, who had headed the Transportation Committee, he did yeoman's work getting a gasoline tax increase passed. But was not able to get any movement on that cell phone bill. And he said that the main argument against it is just to not have any more government regulation. I know you're in the Senate and they're in the House, but it is your party, Senator Capuchin. So how are you going to argue on that?
Sure. Well, you know, I don't necessarily believe we need big government. We just need good government. And this would be good government as far as I'm concerned. This type of thing did not exist years ago. And to be quite honest, I think that eventually technology will take care of this issue, because everything will be voice activated and it will be hands-free. But until that time, we've got to deal with it. And it, who knows how long it could take, you know, before the new vehicles on the road get as far as we need them to be, but then also that every vehicle on the road now is replaced, and that could take 20, 30 years. And so I think this is an issue that we need to address today, and I'm going to press my colleagues for this. Where it goes, I don't know, but I think as far as what I'm hearing now, I think we can get 1002 done for sure. I know that creates problems with enforcement. 1079 would be a much better alternative. But let's take it one step at a time and see where we can get.
1002.
So to translate that, right. We can get the making it a primary offense, maybe a big, much bigger, heavier lift to get all hands all handheld.
You know, and I haven't. You know, we've been working on a lot of issues in the Senate, and so I haven't focused on this as of yet. But that is, we are starting to turn it loose this week by having a subcommittee, and I think we'll get more feedback. I think the senators will get more feedback from their constituents. Obviously, there's people that are concerned about how far does this go? Will I be able to drink a coffee? Will I be able to eat a Big Mac? Those are all concerns that a lot of people have out there. But this is an issue that's totally different than that.
What in your eyes, Senator Capuchin, will sway legislators the most? People listening now, our phone lines are full of people with experiences about distracted driving. Is it these personal stories saying, this happened to me, not necessarily a fatality, perhaps an injury, perhaps they got off lucky like Cody, the bicyclist, did, we heard a moment ago. Is that what sways your colleagues?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I believe that. And, you know, when you see them back home, talk to them about, hey, you know, I almost got hit by this guy today, or I did get hit last year. And those stories have an impact, and we need to hear them.
Okay. We'll go to our phones here in just a minute. If you just joined us, Senators Tim Capuchin and Todd Bowman, they're in different parties, but they're both on the Senate Transportation Committee in our legislature, working on legislation to remedy the spike in crashes, deaths, injuries due to distracted and impaired driving. Pat Hoy with us as well, the governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. Here's an email from a Ben, not me. This is a Ben listening. He says, last summer I was driving in Iowa City. The guy in the other lane was holding his phone up and swerving all over. We both slowed down for a stoplight, and I rolled down my window. I was about to yell at him, put down the phone, when I felt a bump. I learned an important lesson that day. As I had rear-ended the car in front of me, it was light enough that the person didn't even get out of the car, but I'm paying more attention to my own driving these days. So that's an unexpected tale there, and we can see exactly how that happens. Let's go back to our phones. If you'd like to join us with your question, 1-866-780-9100. Steve has been waiting and is calling from Cedar Rapids. Hi, Steve. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I was involved in an accident in November of 2014. I was driving east on Route 30 coming through Belle Plaine going to Cedar Rapids. A young man texting and driving blew through a stop sign at about 50 to 55 miles an hour, T-boned my driver's door, rolled me into the ditch. I came out of that accident with a pelvis that was fractured in six places, four broken ribs. My right thumb was so badly dislocated because I had both hands on the wheel when I was hit that it required surgery to put it back into place.
Oh, my God.
I am so completely in favor, and I'm so happy to hear that there's someone on both sides of the political spectrum, conservative and liberal, Democrat, Republican, whatever you want to label it. We're working for this. This is so important. I have read studies and articles that have proven that the person who is texting and driving is approximately 2 to 2.5 times more dangerous than the person who's drunk and driving.
Right. Yeah, there are studies out. Yeah.
I would love to see the primary defense rule come into play.
What about the hands-free? What about going to completely hands-free, Steve? Is that the step?
I would love to see going completely hands-free.
Okay.
I put a very small investment into a new radio in my car, and my phone rings. All I do is touch one button, and I don't have to look at anything again.
Right. Okay.
Texts, I don't worry about text messaging. I don't bother when I'm in the car. Where I'm from, it is a primary offense in Vermont. They will confiscate your device, and they will hit you with a $1,000 fine, and you could well lose your license for 6 months. I would love to see something like that come here. Only because while I'm not a big proponent of government regulation into every little micromanagement aspect of our lives, there are some things that, pardon the way that I'm going to put this, but there are some decisions that stupid people should not be allowed to make for themselves. One of a case in point being the seatbelt law. I remember when that law first came into effect and everybody screamed about it. No one thinks twice anymore.
Okay.
You get in the car, you automatically buckle your belt.
Several good points. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for sharing your experience. I hope your recovery is going well now, more than 2 years after that.
I'm 100%. You guys have great first responders and great medical care in Iowa.
Steve, thank you so much for your call from Cedar Rapids.
Mr. Hoy, you have
Excuse me, Mr. Hoy, you have some numbers on how Iowa compares to other states in passing laws like this?
We do, and you know, that's one of the things that we've taken a look at is where does Iowa rate, and currently Iowa is for texting and driving is a secondary offense, and in the nation there are five states, and Iowa is one of those five that have a secondary texting law.
Rather than making it a primary offense.
Correct, and what we have found is when you, and it's been mentioned here a time or two before, but the enforceability aspect of it, that law enforcement find a secondary offense extremely difficult to enforce, and we have in past history, I'll tell you, if laws are not enforced, then the compliance rates are relatively low, and I think that's what we're seeing here in Iowa. There are 14 states nationwide that do have the hands-free version of the law, so obviously there's a wide variety across the country, and you know, I think with the primary and the hands-free amendment being looked at, you know, I'm optimistic for Iowa.
Senator Bowman, does anyone in your party have concerns about the potential civil rights hazards of this? You know, we're going to make this a primary offense, and so the officer says, you look like you were texting. Well, how do you get around that problem? Like, you know, how can you tell if someone is texting?
You know, in our subcommittees, and we've had a lot of people come and testify on behalf of this bill, and generally speaking, the only group that's opposed it is the ACLU, and they believe, you know, it's going to lead to more police harassment. And my view is, you know, you can always look at any issue when you're talking about the police adding powers as, you know, a potential for harassment. I believe the police are doing an incredible job of trying to enforce current laws. And, you know, by adding this statute, certainly isn't going to increase or decrease any other issue that, you know, the ACLU has in mind. If a police officer really wants to pull you over currently, it's probably going to be somewhat possible for them to do that. This isn't going to add to that component. And I guess I would add to the discussion in regard to, you know, technology is that we got people that need a deterrent out there to change their behavior. And, you know, what government does is provide laws to change behaviors, because some people are looking, they're not intentionally criminals looking to say, hey, I want to kill someone today. It's always going to be inattention. And so they think in their head that they can do this well enough. They've convinced themselves that I'm a good texter and driver. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, but the science shows that you can't dual process well.
Right.
Okay.
It's very similar, Senator, to the, some of the arguments that if you've had a few drinks, you can convince yourself that you're just as good a driver.
Absolutely.
And it's just not the case. I wondered, Pat Hoy, if I can go back to you at the outset. I mentioned the governor's state of the condition of the state address, and he cited the death of a young Riceville bicyclist killed by a texting driver. Is there any specific legislation here, and our lawmakers, too, please answer this, directed towards helping cyclists out there, or will that be addressed in perhaps a separate bill?
Well, I know with our bureau, we actually meet quite frequently with the Bicycle Coalition. And, you know, one of the things that we are saying that if you pass a tougher distracted driving bill and you address impaired driving in the state of Iowa, you will just by circumstance make the road safer for bicyclists. So we see it as a with the current legislation that's being discussed here at the State House, if those come to be, that that bicyclists will, and pedestrians, all of us will see the benefit from them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's try to squeeze in a call or two before we go. Joe is in Osceola. Joe, I'll have to ask you to be brief, but what's on your mind?
Sure, I got a few things real quick. Thank you, Senator Capuchin. I'm actually a truck driver myself. I'm on the side of the road with hands-free.
Good job.
But,
thank you.
My thing is, my question is, why do you not take your legislation to the point where we are, that if we get pulled over, it's $2,750 to us and a $10,000 fine to the company as a primary pullover, And second of all, my other question was, your bill, how does it affect the citizens band radio that we use to let other drivers know when there's an accident or something ahead? Is that going to be affected by your bill?
Okay. Thank you, Joe in Osceola.
That's a good question, and I guess I haven't addressed the CB issue. That would be something that we would have to look at if we want to include that in this or not. I mean, I can understand where you guys – I don't know what – if I could ask you a question, what is the federal law for your ability to use a business – or a CB?
Joe? Use what?
To use a CB, what is the law there?
For emergency-type situations, is that okay or not?
We're allowed to use it at any time, anywhere, okay. Going down the road or not. It's a one-button thing, you know, but you just put it right back when you're done.
Sure.
It's an open line. Anybody that talks on it, everyone hears it. So if there's an accident, we can let other people know.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable to me. I mean, you aren't taking your eyes off the road like you are to dial a phone or text a message. So I would think that would be something that we could look at as far as, you know, for safety out there, for emergency type situations, let other people know that, yeah, that would be something that we could look at.
Very quickly.
The fines, let's get this bill passed. I mean, if we put those fines on, I think it's going to make it really tough to get this lift done. And I understand where you're coming from. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But I really want to see this legislation move forward, and I think that would inhibit it greatly.
Okay.
But I appreciate your input.
We have a couple minutes left. Thank you, Joe in Osceola. Let's go to Darren in Cedar Falls. Very quick, please, Darren, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been in the car business for 35 years with car dealers all over the country. What you're going to find is that the technology is advancing, as the senator pointed out. You're going to see it just as people are carrying key fobs today. You're going to see electronic keys actually within their phones for their vehicles. The phone manufacturers and those that are developing the ecosystems, they'll probably start with a voluntary system where you have a switch in your phone that do you want to be able to receive text while you're driving. The car will recognize that you're using your phone as your key. So maybe a suggestion for the senators, put a sunset in your law. You know, you can track what the average age of the vehicles are out on the road. Put a percentage in there that says, hey, 65% of the vehicles have this electronic key. Then the law goes away.
Interesting.
That may just satisfy some of your critics.
All right. Darren in Cedar Falls, we've just about run out of time. Closing comments from our senators here. Yep, technology perhaps will, as you mentioned before, solve our problem in a certain time. In the meantime, give us your forecast, Senator Capuchin, and then Senator Bowman, for how this bill or will sail through or not sail through the legislature to be signed by the governor.
Well, I'll go ahead first. This is Senator Capuchin. I believe that the texting while driving will go through. I just believe it will, the Senate Study Bill 1002. Senate Study Bill 1079 will be a heavier lift, but I've seen the attitude changing on this, and I think it is because of what we talked about earlier. More people have personal stories to tell and personal relatives that have had been affected by this. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful on 1079.
Senator Bowman?
I would say I'm kind of like Charlie Brown. I address the football, and they keep pulling it out from me. But I do know this. I have confidence in Senator Capuchin and working together with me in a bipartisan effort to get it out of the Senate. The question will be what happens with the House, because I think the governor's on board. He publicly stated in a State of State Union that he's supportive. So will the Speaker, Linda Upmeyer, be supportive and get her troops rallied around it?
All right. You have to wonder who is Lucy in that Charlie Brown scenario.
I won't mention that.
Pat Hoy, a closing word from you?
Oh, we're just confident if this is passed, it will certainly impact traffic safety in the state of Iowa.
Okay. Thank you very much to our guests, Senators Tim Capuchin, Todd Bowman, and Pat Hoy of the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. Thank you all. Joyce Russell, thank you as well for joining in this conversation and for your reporting on this issue. We'll look forward to your further reporting. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow on this program, we'll have one of Iowa's foremost Russian experts, Bill Reisinger, political science professor specializing in Russian politics. Donald Trump has been unwilling to criticize the Kremlin despite its meddling in the U.S. elections. He's voiced admiration for the Russian president. Tomorrow, we're going to ask Bill Reisinger to give us a Russian perspective on its relations with the West. We've heard so much about our relations with Russia. How do they view us? How do they view Western Europe and Eastern Europe? That's tomorrow on the program. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon and Emily Woodbury with help from Chelsea Hoy. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.